Three worn, tired, aging camper vans, to be exact. We've joined a pretty exotic group from the South Pacific to see how the concept works. Kia ora, everyone. Hello, and welcome to a trip with the indigenous people of New Zealand. A Maori chief and his wife have invited 28 family members and close friends on a month-long trek through Europe. There are 7 children, including several drooling and gooing preverbal toddlers. The chief, John Wilson, is in his 80th year, so we can see how every age adapts to being on the road. The ultimate destination is England, but the trip begins in Rome, where the first challenge is finding a spot to nestle the vans for the night. While group members envision bedding down in the moon glow of a ruined Roman villa, we have to settle for hideous yellow orbs that glare from the parking lot of a McDonald's. Then 28 people try to get comfy and cozy inside the vans, which normally sleep 12. Maria, a family friend, describes her first night on the road.
It's just crazy. We just can't do it. I mean, I spent a night sleeping across 2 bucket seats and somebody else slept on the floor, and there's about 6 people to a bed and kids screaming and no ventilation and, oh, nightmare.
Christine Wilson, the chief's magnanimous and flexible wife, scraps her plans for vanning out and decides we'll travel by camper but stay in hotels. The next daunting task is getting more than 24 people organized in the morning. Maria explains why it takes 2 to 3 hours to get into the vans.
Some people move very, very slowly, and then some people forget things, and then there's babies, and then there's discussions even about who's going to go on what van. No idea why the rest, but it just seems to take forever.
You all know what the family friction quotient is like when you go home for 3 days at Thanksgiving. Imagine the strains of being encapsulated 10 to 15 hours a day, with everyone nursing different dreams of where we should stop and tour. Before the bitching and grumpiness escalate, Chief John invites everyone to express an opinion. Then, conflict resolution is done the Maori way. That's right, singing.
We get our blessings out of singing. So singing will give us those sort of blessings that we're after.
Chief John is right. When we board the vans again, there's unity of purpose and intention. One of our only mandatory stops is in Slovenia, where eldest son Karen is to deliver a keynote address representing the indigenous voice at a conference about art and business. Loaded down by thousands of pounds of luggage, which are now stuffed into the non-functioning toilet rooms, the vans can barely do 50 miles an hour. Karen grows anxious about reaching the conference. In order to make time, meal stops are cut out, and we eat pretzels, chips, and ice cream. Just when we feel we can make it on schedule, there's an awful grinding noise, and we pull into a gas station.
Well, we've got a mechanic here trying to ascertain what's causing the squealing in the motor. Can you hear that?
The mechanic's diagnosis reveals that it will take 24 hours to have the ailing van repaired. A group meeting is called at the gas station, and someone suggests that Karen go on to the conference alone. He agonizes about leaving the caravan.
The conference opens at 4 o'clock tomorrow. I'd very much like us all to be there. I want us to be identified as a group who've made a journey to be at that conference. And you're all part of that group.
We decide to leave 2 people with the broken van, and the rest of us go ahead with Karen, jammed and crammed into the 2 functioning campers. The conference goes well, and we hit the road again. We struggle to go everywhere and do everything, and we're all exhausted. Christine Wilson decides to modify her dream journey by eliminating some of the destinations and extending the time allocated for rest and sleep.
We are finding for the mothers and the children and the grandmothers, some of the days are a little bit long, some of our babies were getting sick. So even though we may have to miss some of the points, we prefer to have shorter traveling days, but the whole thing will be more enjoyable and less stressful.
Christine can improve the quality of the journey, but we are helpless when it comes to the rented campers. Over the next 3 weeks, the vans disintegrate. Parts fall off. the wipers cease to function, the vans get separated, a BMW bangs into us, someone puts diesel in the gas tank, there's a blowout, and now it's burglars. Maria has had it.
Yeah, I just got back from the flea market and the van had been smashed in, the window of the van had been smashed in.
We're now traveling without a side window. A day later, one of the kids shatters the front window. Everyone is now so punchy that there's only one possible reaction. One of the biggest problems on the road is doing laundry. In Vevey, Switzerland, the mom spent half a frustrating day fruitlessly trying to find washing machines.
For the mothers with babies, it seemed to generate a lot more laundry, particularly because we've had quite a few vomiting sessions with tummy bugs and that. Having access to laundry mats or even hotels that might provide a laundry service at a reasonable cost has added stress.
In Paris, there's even more stress when sweet 30-year-old Anthony, who suffered a brain injury as a child, has what Christine calls a flip-out in their hotel room.
Suddenly, in an instant, he leapt off that bed and became just an incredible monster, wanting to just tear us apart.
The trip is so fraught with obstacles that we often miss major tourist attractions. What happens instead is that dealing with crises forces family members to work together and function in a group setting under duress. It becomes an interior as well as an exterior voyage. Strangers often pitch in to help, like a Rasta man in England who crawls under a van to diagnose a problem, or a group of Swiss people who find us accommodations. The strangers are thanked the traditional way. The van members line up to touch noses with them. And to show his appreciation, Chief John treats the Swiss to a Maori haka. It is a combination greeting and war chant, replete with slapping his body, sticking out his tongue, and making faces like a gargoyle.
Then I heard fire.
Touched by this unexpected gesture of open-heartedness, the timid Swiss sing to their new Maori friends.
This is like they're offering you a song.
Wherever we go, people are moved by their contact with the generous, good-natured, patiently enduring caravan of Maori. Several burst into tears because they're touched in their hearts. Whatever the Maori miss in tourist high spots, they make up for in new friends and rich human interactions. At the end of the month, we limp into Manchester, England, where the journey ends. There is one last emotional meeting where group members sum up their experience.
I feel like special bonds of friendship have been formed forever. Thank you so much from my heart for this.
Where some have not been strong, others have had strength to keep us going.
On behalf of all the children that haven't had the chance to speak and the ones that also can't speak, just that I'm sure they've all had a really good time. It's been special for them as it's been for me. And I just thank you that I'm at an age now where I think I can remember it. And, yeah, just thank you for taking us all on this trip.
Well, it's time for me to bid farewell to the Maori. This is Judy Fine wishing you a bon family voyage and touching noses with you for the Savvy Traveler.